support of the service now.
Again, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be your living sanctuary for you. That's what we were talking about. A living sanctuary. Something God can live in. That's the mystery of this whole thing. How a bunch of people that doesn't look like much, but we're exactly what he saw in his mind before the foundation of the world. The exact image that he saw is standing here today. Or he changed. And he does not change. So you love the Lord?
Amen.
While Richard is getting that together, we'll tell you to remember next weekend what Terrence has said to... Remember to get Daddy 70-something. Probably, I told him the other day, I said, it's kind of, I think me and Sister Peggy Gibby were talking about something, and I said, yeah, it's kind of strange. You start out with no teeth, a bib, and diapers, and you end the same way. So maybe somebody can get him 70 diapers. Or bibs. Somebody give Mom, that's good. Somebody give Mama and Daddy a John Deere bib. Somebody here at church did, I think. And that's what they wear when we go somewhere. They put that bib on so that they don't get any food on their clothes. So I'm sure I'll hear from that. I may not be here next week. That's okay. I'll be maybe... It's the truth. The truth anyhow. Turn to the book of Romans and we'll get started again. I hope you enjoyed this morning. Now let's apply it to our life and go on. You know, I was thinking back there just now that before you're born again, you can't backslide. Because you're lost. But you can backslide in here. Staying backslid means you never got anything to start with, and it's not backsliding, you're just lost. But if you're backslidden and you come back, oh, what a wonderful thing when that man saw his son coming back. The prodigal son. He saw him coming back in the fold. How much more God thinks of you and I when he sees that we fall. And then all of a sudden, he sees us stand right back up. That's one thing the devil can't understand. He can't understand how that you can get knocked down and get right back up. And say, thank you, Lord, for that trial that I just went through. In the book of Romans, we'll start back and read the 30th verse, but let's bow our heads before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another time and opportunity to come and serve you. We pray now, Lord, that you come again in a mighty way, heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, help the wounded. Lord, just... may we become more of a reflection of you, Father. Just be with us and keep us safe. Be with Dad, Lord, as he ministers now in Tennessee, and bless him, Lord. Bless the congregation here, Lord, that we'll hear and receive, Lord, something from you. Let it not be a man, Lord, but it be the Holy Spirit moving and using a vessel, Lord, one more time, Father. Though we be a castaway, Lord, may you help someone in this building today, Lord. Take this and put it in their heart and plant it and let it grow. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord. We know we're coming down to the end of time, Lord. But we see, Lord, that you've given us armor. You've given us a protection, and it's your word. And we thank you for it, Lord. We can go back in and see the promises of God that's been given to the bride of Jesus Christ. Just bless us and be with us. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? Let's all read that together if you don't mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? You may be seated. The Lord has his blessing to the reading of his word. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Brother Richard asked me, did I want to race that? I said, no, I don't know where I'd start at. But, and this morning, let's just kind of background just for a minute, but we were talking about justification in baby form, sanctification in the baby form, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a baby form, because when the baby's born, the baby has all that they need to take them into the journey, but you must go through the journey. All right, you must grow in grace and knowledge. You must grow. Even Jesus Christ in a human body, the Bible says, he grew in faith and stature, and he was perfected in what he saw here on the earth and walking as God Almighty, walking through the earth as you and I, not having to go through these things because he was already Almighty God. He was already eternal in his soul, and then he had to come down into a body of flesh that was not eternal, and he had to learn, the Bible says, by the things he suffered, that he grew in stature. If you'll read the Bible, it didn't say he grew in statue. That's this way. Statue is this way. Stature is what we're talking about, the stature of a perfect man, not a statue. All right? But he was the headstone. He was the fullness. He was all this rolled up into one man. And the reason that we can go and be the same person is because now that man that done all that for us is now living inside of us. Okay? That's why you and I can't do it ourselves. We have to have help. We have to have God, Christ himself, to come in the form of the Holy Spirit, to come into your body, and to be in your soul, and Brother Dick and I were talking today, it's kind of like these virtues. I don't like the lines. Same way with body, spirit, and soul. if you cut yourself in two, there's not one ring, two rings, and, you know, a third ring. That's where your soul is. No. This is all a body, and once you are born into this world, B-O-R-N, into this world, that's just you. Okay? But there has to be a starting point for God to work in, because without a soul, you'd be an animal. All right, animal doesn't have a soul. An animal is just by nature. Nature rules him. But he has a body of flesh just like me and you. As I've said many times before, Sister Brenda, I wondered why God, if he wanted to create through the spoken word, why did he give us a body with the body parts to bring it through sex on the earth? We're just a higher form of animal. God, it would be discomplimentary for God to make a man and a male dog, female dog, male bear, female bear, and then make me and you just be nothing. No, he made us in the same order, gave us the same parts. We got no different parts than a dog or a cat as far as hands. They're just made a little different. Same way with all our other organs. So we're just a higher form of animal, except there's one thing about us. God thought so much of us that he made us a soul. He gave us life, all right? And he gave us a choice. Even Cain, he gave Cain a choice. If you'll do right, then I'll bless you. So here we are in a body that we're living in now, and you can't, once you Once God comes in and gives you a soul at birth, your natural birth, then he can't, you can't divide any of the three. Right? The only thing that divides the three is death. Natural. It takes what's inside of you and puts it in another dimension, and this guy stays here. Because it's in the fall. Alright? There's a bar that's holding your body here because your body's connected to this natural earth. But now your soul and spirit goes into another dimension. But you can't take your spirit out of you or you're dead. Can't take your soul out of you because that's the real you. That's what motivates. That's us. That's what you see that makes this move. So there's not any... But just for purpose of us being human, the prophet had to draw one circle for the man and one circle for the spirit and one circle for the soul. But you can't separate them now. Once God put that in my body, that's why Brother Branham said, he said, I have a problem with people believing this transmigration, reincarnation of souls. Because once that soul is put in this body of me, that's why this scripture can be fulfilled, Brother Dick. That's why he can say those he who has justified, he has already glorified. If not, if we were going to get a new body, like most people teach, and a lot of people in the message think this body is just going to be thrown away, and we're going to get a brand new one, then you do away with that scripture. Because those who he's justified, he's already glorified. All right, so you and I are bringing ourself, or he's bringing us under subjection to the Word of God. I'll read it to you in just a minute. Brother Gary and I were discussing something, and actually kind of helped me put a little punctuation mark on here by going back to the greatest battle ever fought, which that is the greatest battle ever fought. It's in your mind. If you're born again, it's not in your soul. It's in your mind. All right, so we'll get to that in a second. Because you're going to see that we're going to take lion, ox, man, and eagle, because these four death messengers eat the tree down, and then the four life messengers are going to bring it back. But to catch back up, now we've come up to faith, and here we're born again. It starts your journey. You're a born-again Christian in your soul. You're just as eternal as God is. You know, if you die, you go right straight into that sixth dimension. But the ones of us that are still alive, we got work to do. Right. All right? The ones that are dead and go on, there's nothing you can do about it. But you and I are here, and you and I have been right here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He's called this age, or called you, this people. He's called you to this. Does everybody understand that? He's called you to this. All right? He didn't call you to be a Baptist. He didn't call you to be a Branhamite. He calls you to be Christ. Amen. Have the mind of Christ. Not the mind of a man, not the mind of anyone else, but the mind of Christ. And here's our journey. Then our journey began, we talked about this morning, our journey truly began when we were born again and we started listening to the Word of God. Because the Word of God, the Bible says we are washed by the water of the Word. When Brother Branham saw the dream, or Sister Shepherd had the dream, and Brother Branham saw it himself, he saw what? A man pouring water into a basin, which was up here. He was pouring water in that basin, and what was coming out? He said it was trash. Okay? Sister Gwen brought, and I'm glad, I like feedback. Brothers or sisters, it doesn't, kids, it doesn't matter. But Sister Gwen was saying that Brother Hantus, a long time ago, Brother Branham said there would be a message sweep out to end this thing. But we think about sweep across. No, why don't we take a broom and let's sweep out? That's what these virtues are doing. That's why when that man was pouring that water in, which was the Word, what was coming out? Trash. What was coming out? The trash side of this. All right? The white horse rider was riding away. What? The one that was trying to impersonate. Okay? That's anti. That's what you want to see riding away. The antichrist of this. But the real Christ is going to make you white, red, black and pale. All right, and we'll go through it just now. All right, so we got to justification, and we showed that if you're truly justified, you're just as righteous as God. God said that. I didn't. So he's making you the very righteousness of God. And then it shows that all that nonsense is being pushed out. Same way in sanctification. We see in sanctification, and we were talking downstairs, and you know, there's a lot of people that we were talking about here at sanctification that thinks they're born again, and that's a real, real horrible place to be, but that's where a lot of you foolish virgins are going to come from. The reason I believe that is because if you're caught out into those denominations, now don't get me wrong, there are dispensations of time. When Brother Branham was preaching, he was preaching to a dispensation that he was bringing them from the old Pentecostals and bringing them into the new way, or his age, all right, bride age. They didn't say that they weren't bride, all right, but he was bringing them from the old Father, Son, and Holy Ghost baptism, because remember, F.F. Bosworth, Brother Branham says, was a great man of faith. Spent 2 hours shaking hands with his convert, so we know he went to heaven. But he was a Trinitarian. He never accepted water baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Brother Branham said that they were some caught back in another age. That's why I believe in 1977 something did happen. In 1977, the Gentile age ceased. He said it would be the what? The going up of the Gentile bride, return of Christ to the Jews. In 1977, I believe that old dispensation is over. That's just my guess. Because after 77, Brother Branham said, you know better now. You know better than to be a woman preacher now. You know better than to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But these foolish virgins, a virgin is somebody that's virgin to the Word of God. And to be virgin to the Word of God, you can't be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and know that and be a virgin. Because Brother Branham says anybody baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost has taken a whore's forehead. All right? But that was, God winked at that. While the prophet was preaching, he winked at that ignorance. But now he calls everybody to repentance. Everybody should know that baptism will not get you anywhere. So a lot of foolish virgin, I believe, is going to come out of this message. Because this message is the most pure thing that there is. And they can accept so much of it, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, walk as much as they can, but like Brother Dick said, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit and die and go to hell. Why? Because you've never accepted that right there. That God did it, and you have faith in what God did. Not what you did, you had faith in what God did. And see, they can't even get that right in the message because they're saying that he's just a man, and then he become God, and then he come back to a man again. See, that confuses people. You can't grow. You're only as high as your pastor is. Right? I didn't say that. The prophet did. You can't go beyond your pastor. So if he believes that, then guess what? You can't go any further than that. So he's took you to another God. Let me tell you something. If we were to preach this thing, Brother Dick, line by line, the way it should be, y'all would be mad at me. The world would be mad at most people. Because if you preach this thing the way it should be, and you know, one time somebody said, Brother Brown said, we got to get back to where they said, that's not what Paul said. We got to get back to where we look at him and say, that's not what William Branham was talking about. Because you know what? He calls us all to do something. That's why he said, those who he's predestinated. And I'll read just a minute. In the greatest battle ever fought, where he has equipped us for the battle. See, that's what we're doing right now. We're being equipped for the battle. Because the greatest battle is going to be right up here in the mind, the head part. All right? Not here, it's going to be in the head part. But it's only realizing that what got you started is ending it. Okay? All right? Excuse me. So now, we come to sanctification here. Same way here, but you're born again. But we were talking about, too, that you could be blinded, like the preacher was that you know, wanted the beer. And Brother Brown said God took his servant off the scene so he wouldn't mar his name. There's a part in the Bible that you can turn someone over to the devil, remember, for the destruction of their what? Flesh, so that their soul could be saved. All right? So that means that they're already born again. They've just got up in somewhere, and somewhere the word's not letting that junk come out. That's where a lot of me and you are. Come on, people. That's where a lot of me and you are. We're not letting this word do it. We think we can do it. We think we've been in a message all of our life. You've got to have an experience with God, people. A true experience. Something that you can, when the devil comes, you can say, stop right there. I've had enough of that. Stop. All right? So now we come to sanctification. The Red Horse Rider, he literally killed millions of people. 68 million people were killed during the time of the Dark Ages when that Red Horse Rider was riding. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ has sanctified millions since he was on the cross. His blood has sanctified millions of people and put them in the body of Christ, put them in into a, I want to say the faith of the fathers, which is true, but we'll get to that in just a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. Then the Black Horse Rider was death. We could name him that. Then Brother Branham comes up on the statue of a perfect man. I didn't read it this morning, but I found it, so I'll read it. Statue of Perfect Man, 1962. Now, building the virtue, building this monument, building this statue, see, it starts off in the foundation that's on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now what's it do? Then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God is love and he controls, and he is the strength of every one of these things. Yes, sir. Right in here. See, I got in between all these works in here. There's a little waves coming down. What is it? The Holy Ghost coming down through Christ. See, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is above all this, welding this together. Building a what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. What's it been done again? It's manifested through seven church ages and seven church messengers. So he's telling you why he wrote Holy Spirit right here. Okay? Because that's what's going to mold everything together. Remember what we said? These three in one. Now what is God? He's three in one. He's not three persons, but he's three manifestations. That horse rider is the last one, right? And he rides off, Brother Bram said, after that the rapture takes place, right? All these three in one. Well, guess what? All these three in one. Everybody understand? That's kind of simple, isn't it? All three in one. That we're not talking about, we see four things, but it's three manifested because four death messengers, which were these people, the Pommelworm, Cankerworm, you can actually put them in each one of these. There's a sermon on that too, but I'll save that one for later. But you can put those death messengers right in here with these horse riders where they eat away all the fellowship. They eat away just the joy. They do all that. That's exactly what happens right here. Alright, but four life messengers comes and brings it back, which is what? We started this morning. You got the lion that come out in the first age, the lion spirit come out, L-I-O-N for those of you on the internet, not lying. Lion spirit went forth preaching what? The true white word of God. Because it was pure back in the first age. It was pure in the second age. It was pure in the third age. But the devil started coming back, and Brother Brown said he got off his white horse and got on his red horse and started killing people during the ox age. Alright? Ox is what? Slow, sacrificial. Alright? Kind of funny that it takes a red heifer, though, to make sacrifice. And that's during the red time of the Red Horse Rider. Then you got the man, which was what? Coming out with Luther and Wesley. Coming up into the intelligence of man, bringing this together. Then what do you end up with? Now, all these are earthbound creatures. Now, you got a lion, an ox, a man. In other words, you got a lion, he can't see but maybe to to that door. Because he's down here. Ox is a little bit higher. He can see a little bit further. The man, we stand up, we can see way out further. But you can't see any further than an eagle. And to show you the growth development of an individual. This little youngin right here starts out with what? He becomes a meat eater, but he starts out with milk. What does this one start out with? What does this one start out with? But what does this one start out with? Lion starts out drinking milk. Then he eats meat. Ox, meat, then goes to grass. Man, milk, steak. But when you come to that eagle, he starts out eating meat. That's why you see a progression of God in each one of these things. This right here is not skim milk, people. When you come to that position, you're standing like Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, I give unto you. See, we're way behind our privileges. We think, man, we're way up here because Brother Brown said we were in the headstone. He might have been, but the rest of us weren't. But we got to be to where we can eat some meat now. Even start out eating meat, because what we're going to do is we're going to start right back over. All in threes. Three stages. Three stages. Three stages. Three stages completes the birth. Down here, three stages completes the birth here. Three stages is going to bring this head down. And he's not going to come down on somebody drinking milk. Sorry. Milk is right here. Now, don't get me wrong. I still like milk. But if you put a glass of milk and a Murphy steak, the glass of milk could rot. I'm not saying let's do away with the milk, because you know what? I might reach and grab that glass of milk and eat it with my steak, drink it with my steak. Those of you who've been to Murphy's know what I'm talking about. I wish they had a way to get it out here. I'd be bigger than I am now. But God wants us to grow in Christians just like we grow in individual people. All right? So we've come to a place to where that God has molded this together, because if you're not strong down here, that's why Brother Bram said he had these waves. That's why the Holy Spirit welds this together. If you got a little place right here that you got a gap, guess what's going to happen? When this pressure comes down, boom. Pressure comes right here, boom. What's going to happen? You're going to rupture. That's why Brother Bram said that Holy Spirit welding it together. All right? See, right here, people, and I'm going to say this and say it pretty strong. If we think we are here, or if we decide that this is where we want to be, this is not something that is the same as down here, but yes, it is. But this down here is a baby, a babbling baby that has to be led, fed, told what to do. But now this right here is not that. This is faith of the fathers, not faith of the babies. Faith of the fathers. That's why it says fathers, not babies. Faith of the fathers means the father has grown up. He's looking back and helping the babies. But he's come to a position to where God can use him as a father, that he can look and see what the Father, which is Christ, wants to do with his word. But people, we got to realize these things right here have to be added or out of us. The lion, ox, man, and eagle. They start out, sure, drinking a little milk, but they have to all come to be meat eaters. But when that eagle comes, he's eating meat all the time. He don't even look for milk. I don't think an eagle don't even have a breast or anything like that. An eagle eats meat. Mama goes and gets the fish. Babies open their mouth. They stick it down in the mouth. But now one time, see, You can take that and type that as coming up to here and still having to be fed. Mouth fed. It's what we're doing now, feeding from the mouth. But there comes a time when that eagle grows up and he goes and gets his own food. All right? But he don't go outside to get his own food. His mama teaches him where to hunt. And who's your mama? New Jerusalem, which is the Word of God. All right? So we do have a mother and a father. We have God, which is our Father, and the Bible says our mother is New Jerusalem, which is the Word of God. So we don't leave the Word of God in any of this. We don't leave the Word of God out. We're actually adding more Word in. All right, now, let's back up just one second. Now here we come. This justification, we know we did it. Right? While I'm erasing this, you can just kind of think a little bit about what's been said. I'm going to write that again. I got to get this clean and take it back downstairs. All right, this justification. We know we done it. There's no doubt we done it. And we have witnesses that we done it. All right? This justification, there's no doubt we done it, but God is showing us by grace that it's all right. That we did do it because we're coming to a place that it is as if we never done it. All right? As if. Now, we've not come to the real you not doing it yet. This is as if we never done it. Now, that's why that the little prostitute woman, Jesus knew for a fact that they were still under the law. And when they threw that girl down in front of him, that they said, "We caught her in the act of adultery." They were witnesses. "We caught her in the act of adultery. What do you say?" So we know what Jesus done. He stalled long enough for the Holy Spirit, I believe, to start speaking to those people. And they looked back through their life and they saw what they had done. So when they left, Jesus, you know, he said, you know, "He who has sin, cast the first stone." Well, now, if one person had have stayed, one person, think about this. If one person had have stayed, Jesus would have had to stone her. Because that was a witness. Because in the Old Testament, you had to have a witness. Okay? Wasn't hearsay. It was a witness. Now, Jesus turns around and says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She looked around. She said, "I have none." Well, you say, well, there was Almighty God standing there in human flesh. But Jesus did not see her do that. Oh, if you could see that. Oh, if you could just see that. That lady, he turned around. He said, "Lady, I didn't see you do it. Go and sin no more." But if one man would have stood there and said, "I witnessed it, I saw it, stone her," he would have had the stoner. But when God gets rid of your accusers, he turns around and looks at you and says, "What did you do?" "I didn't see you do it." We're getting somewhere. Because the real you didn't do it to start with. But you're going to have accusers until then. But hang on a minute. But that little woman, Jesus told her to go and sin no more. And I believe she did. I don't know whatever happened to her, but I don't believe she did what she'd done before. But we come from justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the pyramid. And we see that Christ comes down and molds everything together, makes you a walking instrumentality of God. But we're not finished yet. We still have to get rid of our accusers. Or accuser. There's really only one accuser of the brethren. And that's the devil. Alright, but now look. Justification to glorification. So we got to start and we got to see that in the headstone of the building of this temple, there was, or the building of this statue, there was not a head put on it, right? It was left right, it was left level, you know, right here. Alright? But there has to be something come that's different. You say different. Not different. Remember, Brother Branham said it's got to either be in the Word or it's Antichrist. So it's all got to be in the Word of God, and we know, to save a little time, we'll not read it. But now, we look and see justification in the headstone. And we wonder, well, how are we going to get to there? Well, there's a few more seals left, if you don't mind. Because remember, this is the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, right? What about the fifth seal? You say, what's that got to do with me? Well, in the fifth seal, if you want to read it, we'll not read it to save some time. Brother Branham comes up to a group of people that has actually turned God down, right? And they're called a fifth seal Jew. Now, you and I are Jews spiritually. They're a natural set of Jews. All right, let me back up just a minute. The natural set of Jews, to put them in this fifth seal, souls under the altar crying, how long to avenge our blood. See, a born-again Christian doesn't do that. Born-again Christian says, how long, but when you put to avenge our blood, then it brings in a whole different group of people. All right, because they were not born again. That fifth seal Jew was not born again. They were given eternal life by the grace of Almighty God. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? When you get to the point that the real you didn't do it to start with, if that ain't grace, unmerited favor, nothing you done to deserve it. You say, well, that's the same as this down here. I told you. Eternity's in a circle. You just keep going around. You're just going to keep going around and around and around. There's no different from this one to this one except the position that God has you in the Word of God. This is a baby form. This is a form. How in the world can you get eternal life and those people get eternal life turning God down? It had to be grace. Brother Branham says, he said, it's the greatest grace seal. I'll read it in just a second right here. Listen, it says in the fifth seal, 1963, they realized they murdered their Messiah. Now, same way with me and you. We've come to a realization of something here. See, they were guilty of murder, so they got murdered. But being that they were blinded by God, His grace reached down to them, talk about amazing grace, and gave each one of them a robe. I don't see anything else. If it's not grace, people, you want me to prove it? Turn to Zechariah. It's a hard one for me to find. It's right before Malachi. Zechariah 4. Verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. thereof, with shoutings, crying what? That's enough for me. Grace. Brother Branham said one time, he said, if we knew what the grace of God was, he said, we'd take a rapture. And that's what it is. We're still here because we don't get the grace of God like we should. But we got to be like them fifth seal Jews. We got to be able to accept grace, accept that robe, accept what God's already done for us. See, everybody thinks, well, boy, it's going to get greater and we're going to have to jump through hoops. No, Brother Brown said, it's just a change. But right there, when I was reading that, I thought, well, you go back to Zerubbabel, and that's what he said. He said, he shall bring forth the headstone, and that's what that is, right? With shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. This guy never did it. Why? It shows in those Jews. How can God give them eternal life and see what they've done? They turned down the Messiah. They literally, physically killed him. Physically. They put him to death. But just because of me and you, he blinded that group of people. And they're going to have to accept the grace that they don't know anything about. So they never did it in the first place. All these right here, you're going to see one thing. This has one thing to do. We were talking about this morning. When we come to this place in divine healing, Brother Branham said, no divine healing, no resurrection. Now, when Brother Branham was discerning, say a lady and she had a tumor, a cancer, he called one time a spider cancer. It was all in her stomach. And he pronounced her healed. Now, if you were to take an x-ray of that lady, God just didn't take that out like a surgeon would and leave scars. He actually restored those cells back to its original condition. Same way with the man that cut off, you know, Peter cut off the ear, and Jesus reached and grabbed that ear, and I believe he put it right back on, and I don't believe there was no telltale sign that had ever happened. But see, you say, well, what are you getting to? We got to believe it. That's why he said no divine healing, no resurrection. God doesn't just patch things up. When he heals you, he restores you back to original condition. That's what the headstone is, people. It's restoration back to original condition. You say, well, Brother Branham died. Listen, there's a lot more to go with this. I'm just trying to get us to this point, okay? If we can get to this point, we're going to live a lot better life. All right, so let's just kind of take this step by step. And it's kind of like Daddy said Wednesday night, which we were talking about Thursday. Jesus was glorified, right, in front of the people, in front of the three witnesses. But he went on to death. But you and I have to realize one thing. From that condition forward, he was doing it to get us right here. Does everybody understand that? He was doing it to get us right here. He went through all the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and all that so that you and I don't have to go through that if we accept it. But his body was glorified on that mountain. That's what the Bible says. That's where your glorification is going to come from. But that's we'll get into that maybe later. Or I know Daddy will. But justification. In the headstone, we must realize that we never did it to start with. It's not even held accountable. Now, let me tell you something. If this is true justification down here in the baby form, that's the same as that. Those who he has truly justified, he's already glorified. That's why, people, this is going to be so simple. I know everybody wants some big swelling ending to this story. But it's just going to be this right here, put right here. And then your journey in between. Because God don't see justification and glorification. That's what God sees. He sees that right there. If he saw in between, he'd have to kill all of us. But he sees you justified, sees you glorified, one condition right here. Because if he saw the journey in between, he would have to kill us. But thank God for the blood. Now, same way when we get to here to sanctification. What was the sixth seal? I hope we can get in all this stuff. This board's not big enough. What was the sixth seal? The prophet said the sixth seal was a total interruption of nature. When those two prophets come on the scene, they open that sixth seal, they bring fire out of heaven, we've been studying it a little bit downstairs in the book of Daniel. He said they open that seal when they want to. Earthquakes, blood, fire, whatever they want to happen. Well, guess what? If they do it in the natural, you and I have to have it in the spiritual. For it to happen to Israel in the natural, it has to happen to us in the spiritual first. Because we're spiritual Israel, correct? Then the world gets theirs. So see, it's in threes too. We get it, the Jews get it, the earth gets it. All right? All in threes. Everything you do should be in threes. All right? Sixth seal. Brother Branham said it was a total interruption of nature. Now, he's talking about the nature in what? The earth. The nature of the earth. All right. Nature like Mother Nature, like trees. But what about mine, your nature? He's going to interrupt your nature. And when your hand moves, God's hand moves. When your foot moves, I read you that quote this morning. God's foot moves. Because Brother Branham was coming to the end. He was coming to charity. And that's what he was talking about. He said, when your hand moves, God's hands move. When your eyes see, then God's eyes see. God's going to interrupt your nature. That's why Brother Branham could see. He saw that the real William Branham didn't do it. His nature had been interrupted or changed. Because he said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham anymore. He wasn't denied. We can't deny our birth. You can't deny your spiritual birth. But you've just come to a place that birth here has took you to a place to where, therefore, let's read Romans. Let's read Romans again. Because Paul was positive. You say, okay, well, I'm putting it all in the Bible. Romans 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now. In my Bible, I have now circled. There is therefore now no. It didn't say a little bit, a pinch, a half, a quarter. It says no. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I don't have to read nothing else. When are we going to start believing that? When we start thinking right. When those flues get blown out. Because right now, today, actually, this is what I'm trying to do. Interrupt your nature. And let it totally be changed. Because we need it. I need it. You need it. We all need to be changed. If we don't get changed here, we're not going to get changed in the end or the change of the body. But the Word of God interrupts my nature every time I come to church. It does. And if it doesn't, then there's something wrong with you. But that's carrying on us high. Is it any more? Now look, if this step down here is this big, we take one step. What's this step up here? Just the next step. It's not a little bitty step and then a bigger step that you got to really get way up here to step on. No. It's a daily walk. But you build one on top of the other. You can't start up here. You can't miss a step. But I wanted you to see today. I mean, we're going to finish, but I want to come back just right here. I want us to see today, though, even through all this interruption of this chart, is I want you to see if you're right here, there's something you can do about it. And if you're right here, there's something you can do about it. Even if you're right here, there's still something you can do about it. But it's a journey. It's a journey up that God has said right here in Romans 8. Turn it over one more time. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And if he justified you, if God truly justified you, then he truly is going to glorify you. All right? Brother Branham, you know, he said, take you out on the backside of the desert, give you something for the people. Brother Branham, I believe, was taken up over there in 1963, and he was taken up into a position that he received the headstone, which was his adoption, and he was, you can glorified if you want to. If you're taken up in a vision, there's something changing about you. You're not a normal person, I'll promise you that. If you're taken up in seven angels and you're taken up in it physically, he said he was lifted up. He got something out there that you and I are going to have to go through, but maybe not as dramatic as he did because he was a prophet bringing something to you and I. But I still believe that we're going to have to come to a place that we know that we know that we know. That we not just write this on a piece of paper and the real you never did it. Until we get out of here, that accuser is going to blast us and blast us and blast us and blast us. And then when he's finished blasting us, he's going to blast us again. All right? Then after he's done with that, he's going to blast us again. All right? But I want you to listen right here. We get back to sanctification, the sixth seal. Listen to this. In 1963, paragraph 409, the sixth seal. Now I want you to read with me as you do, capture scriptures of this great event, that we will see that this great secret or mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries, and the sixth seal altogether is one great big book, just six scrolls rolled together, and it unwinds the whole book of redemption. That's how the whole earth was redeemed. Now who's got to be redeemed first? Who's got to be redeemed first? You and I. You and I have to be redeemed first. So this is your book of redemption. This is how you are to be redeemed. And the prophet said six seals finishes redemption, right? After six seals, there's no more. Redemption is over. Six seals finishes redemption. But you got to have one more guy, which this is what most people don't understand about the seventh seal. He said it's a secret. No one will know it. But who? Yourself. Your own person. You're the only person that's going to know when he comes. So you got four seals. Fifth seal, grace. Sixth seal. That's all this right here is that. Same way with here. What are you doing? You're interrupting the nature you have. Right? Right here? Okay. Same thing right here. What is this? What is justification? Grace. That I still got this dirty old hand that I used to carry a beer around in. That I'm ashamed of. But look, it now holds a Bible. It now prays for people. But you know what? That's something I got to get over. Because God didn't see that other part. All he sees is the blood. Justification, grace. Justification, it's the grace of God that he even lets you go up through here and get his divine nature. Sanctification, same way. Interrupts your nature and keeps interrupting people. That right there. Same thing here. Faith. Faith. Rapture and faith. We don't have rapture and faith yet. That is rapturing faith. Brother Branham said the devil, there's one thing he cannot impersonate. He does not know how to be born again. Remember, if he knows how to be born again, he could be our brother. But he does not know how to be born again. Listen right here. Seventh seal. Paragraph 557. Now why? Let us prove it. Why? It is the secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even write a symbol about it. Why? This is why there's no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now? It's so great, it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders... Now notice, when the seven angels come forth to sound their trumpet, there is one thunder. When Israel was gathered, there was a trumpet. When time shall be no more, the last trumpet. One thunder, but there's seven straight thunders right in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That perfect number. Seven thunders in a row. Uttered, not making just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight. Then heavens couldn't write that. Heavens can't know about it. Nothing else. Because there's nothing to go on. It's a relaxing time. It was so great till its secret kept from the angels. Now why? If Satan should get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of gift. I hope you're learning. But he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. All right, let's read on a little further. The next paragraph. If you want something to happen, now you have to take my word for this. I'm planning on doing something. I know bearing to tell anybody about it. Not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it, see? He can't get it in my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit so it's between me and God. It's an individual affair with God here. It's an individual affair with God here. And it's an individual affair with God here. When we walk out of here, it's going to be an individual affair. But everybody wants to know what this great seventh seal is. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. Right? That's what the great seventh seal is. It's the culmination of this right here. Because Satan doesn't have faith. If Satan had faith, he could have a revelation. If he could have a revelation, he could be born again. Why do you think he keeps fighting? Oh, he believes. But his belief is a hope. And remember, hope's not very good unless you're hoping toward something. But this right here is the same as this, same as this, same as this. It's a secret. Because I could stand here all day and I could tell you, I could write it on the board, I could try to explain it, but unless God reveals it to you, it's still a secret. It's still a secret. Till God reveals it to you. But he made it two statements right here that gets to me. He talks about angels and the devil. That's the only two people that can't be born again. The angels didn't know anything about this people. That's why they were silent. They don't have to go through this. The angels know nothing about it. They're standing around the walls today shaking their head, wondering how somebody can be lost. They look at them lost over here, and then they look at them doing what we're doing today. They can't understand that. The devil, same way. He looks over here and sees what happened over here, and he sees what's happening over here, and he can't understand it. It's a secret. The mighty glorification of man that was once lost And now God put them in a place to where they never did it to start with. From justification to glorification. Let me read you one more quote. Greatest battle ever fought. Paragraph 12. And so an army, first in getting ready for a battle, first it's got to select some soldiers. Romans 8 says, moreover, them he predestinated, them he called. He called a group of soldiers. First he's got to call you, select some soldiers. They've got to be dressed for a fight. They've got to be trained for a fight. And I believe that the greatest battle that was ever fought is now ready to go in action. I believe that God has been selecting his soldiers. I believe he's been dressing them, training them, and the battlefront is now set, getting ready to start. This great first battle that was ever fought was in heaven. Then the battle began down here on earth and began in us and has been raging ever since. Paragraph 25. The great hour of charge is at hand. Hallelujah. Soldiers with armor gleaming, color streaming, faith and doubt is setting their sails in array in this tabernacle this morning. Doubt on one side, faith on the other. Soldiers, stand at your post of duty. Hallelujah. Our captain, the Morning Star, leads on. He never goes back. He never. Don't know the word retreat. He don't have to retreat. The greatest battle ever fought, she's going on right in here, right now. Right now. Paragraph 55. See Satan's attack? Watch. Listen close as closing. His attack is what? Disbelieving God's word. That's his attack. There, can you see the greatest battle that's ever fought? There's only two forces, Satan and God. Now, why didn't he put Satan, God, and you? Because you're zeroed out. Satan and God. And what Satan's weapon against you is to try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. Which is what? The sword of the Word of God. He disarms you. Let's listen real quiet now. Listen. If he can get you to disbelieve, your weapon is equivalent. If he gets you to believe that your weapon is not strong enough, he's disarmed you. Oh, Brother Neville, I hope you never disbelieve that. Look. He disarms you. When he gets you to disbelieve that weapon, when you lay that down, that finishes your fight. You're done. Hold that weapon. Don't you lay it down. We see his unbelief. And he said one more thing he wants to say before closing. He give you a sword right here. When Brother Branham went out to Tucson, something struck his hand. He said it was a sword. But he said not only a sword that you have to have in a battle, he said you have to have a mighty strong hand of faith to hold on to that sword. He said when you're in battle, he said it's the strong man with the strongest arm that pierces the heart of the enemy. When you leave here today, realize one thing. If you're right here, there's a word here in this church, I believe, that can teach you all the way up the statue of a perfect man. There's a lot of places that this would blow people's mind. It's been in the message for years. I've seen it. People, I go around the world. I have been around the world, almost. But in this church, the Holy Spirit has led this church enough to show us these steps. This is not new, people. This ain't nothing that Daddy hadn't already preached. He just hadn't maybe put it on a chart for a visual to see. He's preached every bit of this for 20-something years. This ain't something new. All right? But maybe if I put it in a little bit of a visual form, you can see it a little better. Three stages here, three stages here, three stages here. Brother Bram said three stages completes the birth. But wherever you are today, takes that home with you. It'll be on the internet. Joe got it on the video there, and it'll be on the internet if you want to study it again. But to receive the headstone is to receive Christ here first. Justification, to glorification. Receiving Christ as your Savior here. Receiving Christ as your Savior here. This right here makes you and Him one. Altogether one. Altogether one. The true baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not another baptism. Not just believing the message. Not just saying I'm in the message. Not just believing, well, you know, that's what Brother Branham said. I like quotes, and quotes are strength to back up what God's bringing, because it comes through a prophet and it was God speaking it. But if you don't have put, if you can't put it in your life, it does not do any good to shout about Brother Branham doing all these great things. It does not matter what our pastor does all these great things, unless you take what that is and build on it as far as having faith. What did Brother Branham say? He said divine healing was to reach out and get the people's attention to see what? Divine healing? No, to see the Word. And that's going to take you from divine healing. Why Brother Brown said divine, no divine healing, no resurrection. Because when we come back, when they come back, in their glorified body, they're not going to have limbs missing. They're not going to have an old part of them still there, gray hair. What kind of God do we serve? When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Mary said, Master, he stinketh. Now, when he was raised from the dead and Jesus told him to take his grave clothes off, you believe he was stinking then? You know, Brother Branham, many times, you know, he'd say, talking about Lazarus' soul, where it was at and where it went. I thought about his body. Because his soul was okay. That body 4 days was stinking, bloated. Skin worms had already begun. Brother Brown said his nose had fell in. But with one voice, Lazarus didn't come out doing this. No, I believe he came out, and the Bible says that the grave clothes, he was trying to get them grave clothes off. Because they bind them up, you know, and wrap them up real tight. But he was trying to get those grave clothes off, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And when he did, I believe that he probably was, oh no, he was sitting like this. Well, praise the Lord. I'm alive. I don't know what happened, but I'm alive. No, I believe you couldn't stop him, because remember, they were getting ready to kill him. Remember? The Bible says that when Jesus and him went to a meal, the Pharisees, well, you know what? That he wasn't sitting there going, Jesus raised me from the dead. No, everybody must have knew it, because they was trying to kill him to shut him up too. I mean, you read between the lines in the Bible and you can see a lot of things that goes on that wasn't recorded. But Lazarus must have struck a chord somewhere, because he had been dead and he was restored back. Same thing with you and I. We were dead in sin and trespasses. But one day, what did God do? He said, I will restore. That's why we've had to go through all this, people, because we fell in the garden. And as we fell in the garden, that put us under a condition that now when God came back down to earth and walked through the trials of life, just like we do, all this was going on when Jesus was walking on the earth. Don't think these writers are new people, are devils. The devil was right there when he was born, trying to kill him at 2 years old. Right? The devil was trying to destroy him. He even took him at 30 years old and tried to get him to relinquish his kingdom and do all these things. So if he did that to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you and I are not going to be immune. I'll promise you that. But just realize one thing, people. Let's be honest with ourselves. If we can identify ourselves somewhere in all this, then we can do something about it. But if you just say, oh, that's a bunch of drawings, I know that I've got the Holy Spirit, and because I got signs and wonders, and The Bible even says there when he's talking about false Christ, he said they would do great signs and wonders. But take this home with you in your mind. And ask God. I think the problem is that we get settled back sometimes and we think, well, we're done. We're finished. We're in the seventh church age. We've got all this great revelation. These preachers can preach so good and we can feel so good and somebody can get us so anointed. The devil can anoint you to do the wrong thing. You watch Brother Branham. When he's in a prayer line, he never raises his voice. He talks to them demons just like me and you are talking. I've seen people in the message shake people's wig off their head. And I'm not saying that to be silly. But how's that gonna affect anything? Jesus never went to the grave of Lazarus and started screaming, and he even said, Father, I pray for them around me, not that I need to pray. You know what he said? He said, but for those around me, I'm going to pray. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. One day he's actually doing the same thing for you and I right here. He's calling your name. He's saying, Donnie, the real you, come forth. Because all this is doing... Remember Brother Branham took those seals and he rolled them up in a roll. And he said, here's seal number one. And he pulled it off and it flipped open. That's exactly what's happening to me and you. Six seals finishes redemption. There's seventh seal not written anywhere in the Bible. It's hid. And where is it hid? In a bunch of people that comes to church. Some of you drive 4 hours to get here. Some of us can't carry a tune in a bucket. Some of us can't play banjo worth a flip. Some of us can't preach worth a flip. I'm not finished yet. But I'm going to be serious. God didn't choose you for all that. He chose you because he loved you. And he chose you because he knew in your heart that you'd accept him and you'd do better and you'd walk in the word. You'd do what he says. You were what? An obedient child. All this right here, and that's something I didn't get to, but it's obedience. I like old Samuel. He told Saul, he said, kill them all. He said, don't even leave a sheep. And definitely kill that one-eyed king. But what did Saul do? He let that one-eyed king live. And what did Samuel do? You say, boy, these prophets, they're real sweet people. Samuel walked in there one day, and he heard the lambs. And he said, Saul, I hear the bleating of sheep. And I see that one-eyed king still alive. He walked over and he drew Saul's sword and he took it and he went and cut that man's head off right in front of him. Handed the sword back to Saul. He said, Saul, it's greater to be obedient than it is to sacrifice those lambs. Because see, Saul, I know what Saul was doing. He said, well, we'll save a few of these to sacrifice with. But that's not what Samuel told him. Let me get a little closer to home. That's not what Brother Branham told us. He said, kill him. He said, hack him up and destroy him. Because if you don't destroy the devil, he's going to destroy you. This is a battle, people. And the battle's not over till we get out of here. But you know what? The book's already been wrote. The battle's already been won. Musicians, come. The great seventh seal is a walking, living human being that sold itself out to God. Nothing more, nothing less. It's Almighty God walking on 2 feet. Let's stand. I hope I've said something maybe today that's helped your heart. And I want to sing a song, Brother Dick. We sang it before. Let's try it again. It's written in my wonderful key of C. It's page 389 in the spiral book. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? If it's not, 389 in the spiral book. I hope God stirs your water. I hope He don't let you sleep at night till it's well with your soul. We're going to have trouble in this guy right here, people. This flesh right here is going to be beat and banged up. Brother Branham said it would be battle-scarred veterans, Brother Gary. He didn't say it was going to be a picnic. It would be a battle. But it's all got to start in that soul of man. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Let's sing it. Peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Here it is right here. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Sing it now. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard our sister. Lord, as this prayer cloth goes and laid on that child, Lord, may it recover from that, Lord, and be whole in Jesus' name. Sleep. With my soul, it is well with my soul. Listen to this right here now. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the situation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that our sister, Lord, will be, Lord, a light to shine for her real sister, Lord. And she'll give her this, Lord, and tell her, Lord, what's happened when we lay these prayer cloths on people, Lord. I pray that you'd touch it now, Jesus. With my soul, is it? Oh, it is well with my soul. I like this one right here. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be signed. To Heavenly Father, you've heard our brother. Lord, I pray that the restoration is started and to be complete when they do that MRI, Lord, the CAT scan. That all will be well in your name. We pray. That's all you got. That's all you got to do, believe. With my soul, sing it now. Oh, it is well. Think back through your life. Is it well with your soul? It is well with my soul. Amen. The Heavenly Father, you heard our brother, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you just give him a job, Lord. that you'll take him, Lord, and mold him and make him into your image first, Lord. And then give him a job, Lord, and just bless him, Father. Give him strength. Lord, may he hear something this week, Lord. Just open the doors for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless him, Lord. Of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. Oh, it ought to feel good. It is well with my soul. Oh, I know. I know. Maybe, Lord, open the door.
I want that.
Okay. Well, just go believe. Of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul. Boy, what a settled feeling if you know that. Well, it is well with my soul. Let's sing that one right here. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. This is us now. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Sing it one more time. Oh, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. When we walk across that curtain, we sing that song. It is well with my soul. And it's finished. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shining crown. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. What we're gonna do? We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright and shining crown. And when this battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Amen. We're going to wear a crown. We're going to be kings and priests. We got to do one thing, people. We got to believe. We got to believe. We got to really. You know, Brother Branham said the bride does better under persecution or under squeeze. You know why? Because you don't depend on Walmart, General Electric, and all those things. Because you know what? When we get done today, we're going to go downstairs. First thing we're going to say is we're going to say, where y'all want to go eat? We got to go to Walmart because we got to exchange a cell phone that June doesn't like. But you know, like I said this morning, there's going to come a time when we may not be able to meet together. But that time ain't here yet. And until that time comes, you're going to see me sitting there or you're going to be see me out preaching the Word of God, one of the two. You say, well, you can still die and go to hell. Yeah, that's exactly right. But if my life shows Christ and I can show it to somebody else, Brother Dick, then he can send me to hell, and I'll say I love him. You got to come. That's a position. You say that flippantly and you may go there. But honest to goodness, I tell the Lord when I walk out that door, I said, look, Lord, I said, this ain't for me. This is not for me. I labored to get this sermon, but I hope you get something out of it. I've stood here and had some of the worst thoughts, had some of the worst headache, had just some of the most vilest things come in my head. But you know what? It ain't so. It didn't happen. It ain't in me. But I say, Lord, though I be a castaway. That's what Paul was saying. Lord, if you just cast me in the pit, please let me help somebody. Let me help somebody today. Because truly, Brother Gary knows, he's been up here before. This is a servant's job. This is not something that makes me no better than you people. None. Like we were talking about, Brother Joe Salas got a little dip of it this morning. He taught Sunday school. He said, man, it takes a while to get everything together. I said, yeah, we spend about 6 hours to preach 1 hour. And that's about right. We spend 6 hours to preach 1 hour. You get two sermons, and you've spent about 12 hours getting a sermon. As far as putting the notes together and praying, and then say, no, this ain't right, this don't go here, this doesn't fit, and will this do, and you know, will they see this or not see this? And it's a labor. So we're servants. Don't think anything great of us, because if the only great thing we can do is get ourselves out of the way and let God use our gift. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I've always wanted to teach people. And I lost that out by not going on to school in the natural, but maybe I can help somebody here in this part, this realm. This realm's better than the teaching realm outside anyway. I couldn't teach them little heathens.
You know when you talk about Lazarus and he calling forth the grave, he told the people to take the death blow.
Right, exactly. Right.
You know,
give them something to do.
To me, that's our job today.
Exactly.
These people out there have got the death blow.
Right. They're bound.
You know.
That's right.
And it's not easy to do.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yeah. Right.
He says, I need to be re-baptized.
Right.
And another guy that I've been sharing with him for years. He just can't see it or won't do it.
We got to realize one thing, people. This is not for everybody. I mean, if you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you want everybody to be saved. What do you think about God Almighty? Walking on the face of the earth, watching the people reject Him, knowing that if they would accept Him, they would accept salvation. And God Almighty Himself walking on the earth. And if they wouldn't accept God Almighty, do you think they're going to accept you all the time? No. This is not for everybody. That's what I was trying to get those ministers to see. And I know in my heart I want everybody to be saved, but some people just not going to be saved. Like Brother Dick said, there was a thief on the cross on both sides. One accepted the same, both of them heard the same message. One accepted it, one rejected it. And that's the way it's going to be anytime. One's going to accept and one's going to reject. You look all your journey, you see like that. That man, one thing you say, hey, I need to be baptized. You can talk to somebody for 5 years about water baptism and they still ain't going to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's not for us to determine. You know, just preach the Word of God and let God deal with your heart. When you go home tomorrow from work and you're tired and weary and worn out, just sit down and just kind of kick back a little bit and just say, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you this week? Tonight, for the next week coming up, what can I do for you? Say, something I can do? Lead me into a way to help somebody else. So that's what we are. Christ died for us. We need to die for everybody else. Be a sacrifice. Love the Lord. Thank you for coming. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just pray for Dad and them. They're not coming home tonight. They're going to come home in the morning. So that's good, because Dad will be wore out. But just pray for him. Remember, next Sunday we'll have a birthday party between services for the 70-year-old man that people call my brother. We were in St. Augustine. I told somebody, we were in St. Augustine, and a sister comes up and says, oh, I said, that's your brother. How's your brother doing? I said, well, I don't know. My brother's not here. They said, oh, no, that man right there. I said, that's my father, thank you. Didn't have to laugh that loud. But it's the truth anyway. You know what? Let me tell you something. Just before we go. I know we're a little long, but listen. You give your life to God, He'll protect you. If you've got something to do in this life, He'll do you just like Samuel Dale. He'll put you on a path and He'll put you looking 50 when you're 70. But if you don't, like I did back 20 years that I stayed away from God, I didn't do hard drugs or anything like that, but I was a sinner. And I did things of the world. And that's why I look 60 instead of 50. Because I didn't take care of myself during that time. Honor God, He'll honor you. He's honored that man. That man can outwork me. And sure enough, he does look like my brother. He really doesn't look like my father. He looks like my brother. But you just do that. You know, brother, look at Brother Collie. He's had some ups and downs, but you know what? He's a pretty young-looking dude. Lose a little weight, get a little more hair. He'd look 55, maybe. But you know, it's like Terrence said the other day, the ones that are the, you know, kind of the pillars of the church, Brother Collie and Brother Dean, some of you, a lot of you, all of us. People look up to people. That's just the way things are. You know, you look up to leaders and you know, I just, like I said today, I just don't want to confuse people. I don't want to act one way and then be another, or, you know, I just want to be myself. And I'm plain spoken, and God didn't take that out of me. But I try not to do it so much as to be so dogmatic about it anymore. But God's still working on all of us. I like that little song, He's Still Working on Me. The Creator God that created this whole universe, everything that, all the space and all the time, but yet He decided to come down and give you eternal life and say, you are my child and you can live with me for an eternity. And here's the plan to do it with. You know, Brother Gary, that ought to make us all cry. Just go somewhere and just weep. He didn't have to. He's self-sufficient, eternal God. That means He doesn't need something to survive. But He decided that you and I were going to survive with Him for an eternity. And not that He's this great ruler, but He is. But He's our brother, the Bible says. But He's our King. And reigns forevermore. I love that song. I wish we could sing it. But let's bow our heads and close. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for today. I'm sorry that I rambled on, Lord, but I love to talk about You and what You've done in my life, Lord, is a miracle. But Lord, truly, that seventh seal, that last battle is in the mind. It's up there in the head part, Lord. But Lord, as You came to earth and the devil tried to destroy You, You kept saying, it is written. It is written. And Lord, may we too do the same thing, that when Satan comes, it will say, Satan, it's written. Right there in Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, He knows who's bluffing and who's not. But Lord, there's a group of people that You've equipped. You've given them the right armor. You've given them the right battle gear. And You've told us where to go find it at. Now Lord, as today we go forth, may we put that armor on. Take that sword and use a mighty hand of faith and say, Lord, I want to be what that man was talking about. I want to be in the statue of a perfect man to become a living, breathing instrumentality for You. Father, just go with us. Forgive us of our sins. Be with our pastor tomorrow, Lord, as he comes back home. Bless him, Lord, as he comes up to his 70th birthday, Lord. That's the time You've allotted. And I thank You, Lord, that You've given him that time. I pray that You give him many more years, Lord, as we need teaching here at this church, Lord. Just raise him as many times as You want to, Lord, to teach us the Word of God. Forgive us of our sins. Be with us. Keep us. Help us. All of those that need jobs, some of those that are looking for other jobs, Lord, I pray Your blessing on each one. You've opened doors for many people here in this church, Lord, where there was no hope of finding a job. You've opened a door. Lord, I pray that You'd touch each one, Father, financially, spiritually, more than anything. Just raise us up in You, Father. Forgive us of our sins and our mistakes. If we said something today that hurt someone's feelings, Lord, we're sorry. But we pray, Lord, that the word that's been said will not fall on stony ground. It'll not fall on thorny ground, but it'll fall on good ground. And it'll bring forth seed, Lord, 100-fold. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.